Hi, I'm Aaron. My URL is aaronpk.com.
Welcome to the first episode of My URL Is. I'm your host, Eddie, and with me today is Aaron Preki, one of the co-founders of the IndieWeb. Thanks for joining. You know much more about the IndieWeb than anyone else, so it's fun to start off this new podcast with you. If you don't mind, just spend a couple minutes, introduce yourself for those who might not know you.
Sure, yeah. I'm Aaron Preki. My website is aaronpk.com. That's actually just the short one that I use for in audio form, since nobody can spell my last name. My actual website's aaronparecki.com. And yeah, like you said, I helped start the IndieWeb events and organization a long time ago now. It's been quite a while. I built a lot of open source tools around the various building blocks of the community and run a couple of services like indielogin.com or webmention hosting, that kind of thing.
Awesome. So the funny thing is, typically I would ask a guest on here how they discovered the IndieWeb, but of course, that doesn't quite apply to you. How did you and Tantek and the others that all founded the IndieWeb, how did you guys kind of come about that?
Yeah, I guess I met Tantek a while ago in San Francisco, and we both ended up at the Federated Social Web Summit, which was in 2010 in Portland, which is where I live. And that was a really interesting gathering of a lot of people working in similar space on similar problems. That event didn't end up happening the next year, and we started the IndieWeb Camp the next year instead to try to create an event that takes a more individualistic approach to the problem of people owning their own identity instead of just, you know, using shared services and things like that.
That's great. Obviously, the IndieWeb has grown probably larger than you would have thought. What does that mean to you, being part of the IndieWeb, having a community that, you know, is around really embracing these principles as opposed to, you know, just some people doing stuff with technology, actually having built up a community around that?
Yeah, I think the community is a huge aspect of this for me. And it's a big differentiator in this movement compared to others. You know, we're all working towards a shared goal, which we all understand. And at the same time, we're also using our own websites to actually talk to each other and work on the problem together. It's really awesome to see people not only doing that for themselves, but also then building up apps and services and hosting solutions that also help other people do that for themselves.
You attend quite a few IndieWeb camps. Is there any specific, you know, when you attend one, is there any specific way that you kind of plan whether you or Tantek or both of you guys attend the IndieWeb camps, or is it just kind of who can make it when?
I haven't been to all of them, but I do try to make it to as many as I can. It's mostly about just the logistics of getting there, because, you know, travel is not cheap. So I try to find the ones that make sense for me to go to. So, you know, I've been to obviously the Portland one, since I host that one. But I end up going to Düsseldorf and Nuremberg. I've been to for the last several years, going to Nuremberg again this fall. I haven't made it to the New York one yet at all, and I'm excited to be able to go this year finally. It's kind of funny, I think for some reason New York travel is just very expensive, and it hasn't lined up for me yet. But I think one of the things that makes one of the events stand out is the people that show up. I'm always impressed by the crowd in Düsseldorf. There's just so many people with so much energy that come and are so excited to talk about these things and work on these problems. It's really fun to have that much energy.
That's awesome. Speaking of, that actually brings up a question to mind. Obviously, being a US-centric person myself, does everyone primarily speak English at the IndieWeb camp, or is it primarily German? How does that work?
Oh, yeah. The sessions are all English. Everybody in Germany speaks English just fine also, so it's not really a problem. But there's obviously a lot of, you know, chatter off between sessions and stuff that's happening in Germany where I only understand like half of it. But yeah, all the sessions and stuff are in English because a lot of people come from other places as well, like neighboring countries or, you know, other people from the U.S. even.
That makes sense. Awesome. That's good to know, because it's popped in my mind before, like, it'd be kind of cool to go spend some time in Germany and, like, do an IndieWeb thing. So I'm sure it's popped in people's minds before, like, it might be a fun trip. So that's great to know.
Yeah, totally.
Is there anything that you would really like to see new, or any changes you'd like to see in the IndieWeb community over the next year?
Yeah, this year has been exciting so far. I think the all the development on the ability to follow people's content and have these reader interfaces that make it super easy to read what your friends are up to and reply to them in line, that's been super exciting. I'm hoping that we see more of that over the next year, as well as more platforms popping up that support the IndieWeb building blocks to make all this happen. Like micro.blog is a fantastic example of a service that has made it super easy for people to get started with a website and microblogging and, you know, posting photos and stuff. They obviously support a lot of the building blocks out of the box, where, you know, the users don't even necessarily have to know what's happening behind the scenes, and things just kind of work.
Yeah, definitely. That's been one really exciting thing on my side, is seeing micro.blog embrace all of the IndieWeb stuff and being able to interact with people on that platform.
Yeah, definitely.
Provides so many more people that we can communicate with and engage with, you know, than if we're only communicating with people who are having their own websites. So that's been exciting. So from here, I figure we'll go ahead and just shift and talk a little bit about some more technical stuff. What service or software powers your website?
Sure. So my website is something that I wrote from scratch. I call it Peek, spelled P3K. And the website itself is not open source, but a lot of the pieces that I use in it are. It's written in PHP using the Laravel framework, full stack backend thing where it does, you know, database ORM, and it handles package management, and it handles views and routing and all that stuff. It's a pretty full-featured framework. But then a lot of the pieces that go into it are things like little libraries that I or others have written to do particular things like web mention sending or micropub handling. And a lot of those little pieces I've published as open source components so that people can reuse those. What else? I use a handful of the services that I run, I use as well. So actually, my website doesn't send web mentions. It tells Telegraph to send web mentions. Telegraph is a service that anybody can use to send web mentions. Same with webmention.io. When I receive web mentions, my website itself doesn't actually process them. It's actually handled all by this external service, webmention.io, which, again, anybody else can go sign up for and use.
So what kind of goes through your mind when you're thinking about whether you want something to be a service that you and other people can use, or if it's something that you actually just put into your website?
Yeah, I think there's two parts to that. The first part is these services that I'm running, I try to avoid hosting people's content in them or storing any data for people in them, other than just operationally. Telegraph, for example, it keeps logs of what it's sent, so you can go back and look through it, but like it doesn't actually store data for you. If Telegraph disappeared tomorrow and you were using it, you would lose the ability to send web mentions through it, of course, because it'd be down, but you wouldn't have lost any of your own data. So I'm trying to make sure that the services that I pop up around this are things like that, where they're transport services. They help data move around and go between people's websites, but don't actually store things for you. Because I think that you know, that's a big part of owning your data, is I want people to be in control of where their data is stored, actually, you know, having their data themselves. So things I built into my site are everything around storing data. So, you know, my posts are stored in my site. The web mentions I receive end up going through webmention.io and get stored in my website. The other design aspect that I've put into my site is I try to make it so that the software running my website on my server doesn't actually communicate with anybody else's site directly, that it doesn't handle fetching URLs that it doesn't know about ahead of time. So this is kind of like a security thing for me. If someone sends a web mention, I have to verify it. And if I don't know what that server is, I can't necessarily trust it yet. So that's why I go through webmention.io. So that server is the one handling the sort of like could be anything request from anybody. And it only after it validates and parses the data successfully does it send it to my website.
Oh, okay. So kind of like a demilitarized zone,
mm-hmm,
where you've got gates on both sides. And first you let someone in the middle, make sure they're okay, and then you let them into your compound.
Yep. That's a good analogy.
Very cool. Well, obviously, a lot of people in the indie web look to your website for inspiration and, you know, ideas about things that they can do, because you're kind of one of the frontier people as far as coming up with new features and things like that. So with that in mind, what's something that you've recently added on your website that you're particularly happy with?
That's a good question. I feel like it's been a while since I've actually like added a feature to my site. It's been I've been working on a lot of the external stuff lately, like Aperture and Monocle, working on the reader side of things. But I think the last thing I put into my website was this little feature. So I track my location everywhere. I have a GPS tracker running on my phone all the time, and that's constantly sending data to my website, so my website always knows where I am. And I also track, like, if I'm on a bike or on a walk or in an airplane, those get posted to my site as trips. And I made it recently so that on my homepage, if I'm currently on a trip, like in one of these, you know, on a bike ride or mid airplane flight, then on my homepage, you'll actually see a little line that pops up, like right under the header block on my site that says, Aaron is currently on a bike traveling at 12 miles an hour. He's gone 2.2 miles so far. And if I'm not, like, for the most part, you'll never see that. It doesn't show anything when there's no trip active, but it's kind of fun, I think. I haven't actually heard of anybody using it for anything useful yet, but we'll see.
Cool. Yeah, that is pretty awesome. Obviously, I haven't visited your website when you've been on a bike ride or anything, because I haven't seen that yet. So that was pretty cool to hear about. And yeah, at some point you'll have to like post a message before you go on a bike ride or something, just so everyone can go to your website and look at it.
Well, I'll be on a plane on Monday again, so maybe I'll post before I get on the flight.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great idea. Have you run into any challenges or problems recently that you'd like to kind of highlight that people in the indie web community might be able to think about and respond to you on the indie web chat or via web mention or anything?
Yeah, I'm really interested in exploring more around private content and like semi-private, sharing with groups or even directly with individual people. And it's something that we haven't really figured out very well yet. In the community, there's been a couple of experiments over the years. Some of them worked. Maybe the workflow hasn't been quite easy enough to make it stick around. Maybe it wasn't easy enough to build, so nobody else ended up building it. But I'm really interested in doing more on that front. And the other thing that I really want to improve overall in the community is explaining these building blocks and explaining how they all fit together, so that somebody else who's starting out and, you know, just seeing all these pieces and getting excited about it has an easier way to engage with it. As I'm sure you know, and I'm sure many people know, if you try to read the wiki like a book or even at all, it's pretty dense. It's hard to find your way around. It's hard to know what's the right way, right place to start, or where to, you know, what's next after you finish one thing. So I think that the wiki is a fantastic resource. It's like the way that things make progress in the long run in the community, but it's not necessarily a beginner's tutorial. I think part of that is just the format, where there isn't like a navigation, a hierarchy of information. I did a post recently called Sending Your First Web Mention from Scratch. And this is like this is an example of the kind of thing I'm talking about, where it's meant to be someone who's, you know, familiar with basic HTML and, you know, a little bit of code. But it walks you through step by step from starting with an empty web page of how to turn a web page into a comment on someone's blog. By the end of the post, hopefully you get the idea of how WebMention works, which is a lot easier than trying to like read the WebMention spec. So I'm hoping we can do more of that kind of thing. Tutorials on very specific concepts like that of, you know, sending a WebMention, receiving a WebMention, adding IndieAuth support, adding MicroPub support, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds great. I know that when you wrote your article on, you know, the indie readers and everything for GoDaddy, and then eventually you put it on your blog, I know that that got a lot of feedback, and a lot of people commented that they thought it was one of the clearest explanations as far as like the capabilities of the indie web. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think you're right. I think the more articles that are written in that way, it can kind of help prime people and give them some nice tutorials and introductions. I think people will understand the indie web a lot better. As we wrap up here, I guess, what's the next thing that you'd like to do with your website?
I've had this itch for, as according to my list of issues, a long time. But the idea of a nicknames cache, where I want to be able to write a in a post, like, you know, at Eddie, and that gets hyperlinked to your website in the post. And you don't have to necessarily tell me that your nickname is Eddie, because that's actually maybe just my nickname for you. But whenever I write at Eddie, it should link to your website. And then the next step of that, the more advanced phase two of that plan, is when I then post that note to Twitter, that gets rewritten to your Twitter username in the post that goes out to Twitter. And same is true for GitHub or wherever else I might be pushing the syndicated copy.
Awesome.
So I've started making progress on that. I have the database now of the ability to store people's preferred nicknames that I have for them, their website, as well as their additional URLs on these various services. So working on it, slow progress.
Well, that seems like a pretty convenient thing to do. That's actually something that I added to my website, so that when I was posting on Swarm or things like that, I'm sure I confuse people on Swarm, because I'll put at and then some random name that is not anything to do with Swarm. But it does, you know, in essence, what you just said, and it is really convenient.
Yep. Actually, that's an interesting use case that I hadn't thought, which is the flip side of that, where if I'm posting on Instagram or on Swarm, I should actually be using the person's name on that platform. And then when that goes to my website, it should get rewritten based on rewritten to the person's actual URL based on this nickname database. So I'll probably add that to my list. It's a good idea.
Yeah, have an ability to do both way translation. That's great. Well, thanks for joining me today and kicking off the inaugural episode of My URL Is, and have a great day.
Thanks, you too.